Welcome to Making Sense with Rob Case. I am your host, Rob Case, and the website is makingsense.proboards.com. Once again, makingsense.proboards.com. Leave out the www dot and type in makingsense.proboards.com and you will be at the website. Today we are going to talk about Thanksgiving, the power of giving thanks. Thanksgiving is a holiday that was originally designed to reflect, take inventory, and appreciate the things that God has done for us and blessed us with throughout the year. Yet I think we have a tendency to isolate Thanksgiving as a holiday to share with the family, but kind of void of true meaning. And yet its power is something that should not be confined to just the fourth Thursday in the month of November, as President Abraham Lincoln originally declared it to be. Thanksgiving, I think, should be as common as brushing our teeth before bed or taking a shower. But my question for you is it? Are you truly thankful for what you have? In this very special edition of Making Sense with Rob Case, we are going to take a ride on a very extraordinary journey regarding you, as we search the soul to find the true meaning and purpose of giving thanks. Stop. Stop for a moment. Stop what you're doing for just a minute. Take a look at yourself. I'm going to challenge you to a quick self-examination for just a moment. Can you see out of both eyes? Can you get out of bed in the morning and walk around? Can you drive? Do you live in some place of shelter? Are you wearing any clothes? If you said yes to most or all of these questions, then most likely you have something that somebody somewhere does not. Have you ever thought to ask yourself any, if not all of these questions, at least in some point in your life? If your answer is no, then maybe it's possible that you might be taking the things you have for granted. Let me ask you another question. How would you personally respond to Psalm 100, verse 4 through 5, in coordination with your current lifestyle? Is it out of touch, or is it something that you agree with? Is it out of touch, or is it compatible? Is the reality compatible? I'm going to read the verses. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Is the reality within these verses difficult to grasp right now in your life? If so, why? If not, why not? Kind of a little self-evaluation thing here. Now, perhaps things aren't as bad as is perceived. You know, it's very interesting in looking at the life of David, who eventually became king of Israel in ancient Jewish history. One can't help but think, you know, David lived a very strange and dysfunctional life. David was in no way perfect, and he was a sinner, yet his dependence on God and his close personal relationship with him kept his focus on things above rather than be dragged down by the demands, the bitterness, thus the tentacles, as I call them, because it's like they just kind of wrap themselves around you, kind of pull you down, of this world. And I think that it's mind-boggling to note that the man who wrote Psalm 67, for example, was the same man who went through so many difficulties, hardships, and close calls on his life that he could actually produce such a psalm. And that's not the only psalm either. He produced many of them that were very, very, very like, whoa, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And keep this in mind when you look at Psalm 67, for example. Here's a short list of some of the hardships that David went through. And this isn't all of them. These are just some of them. He had a jealous enemy, King Saul, who had sovereign power over the nation of Israel, and Saul plotted to kill him. David had to exercise caution. It was difficult for David to find a moment's peace because Saul kept disrupting that peace via his jealousy of God's favor towards David. So God had this favor towards David. Saul was jealous, and Saul wanted David like totally out of the picture. And he had the power, the sovereign power, to try and make that happen. And he did. So David was basically, David had to constantly keep looking over his shoulder. And so that right there, I mean, could you imagine that? Could you imagine like always going somewhere and always having to look over your shoulder? David had a son by the name of Absalom, who coveted his father's throne and conspired to start a movement, a campaign, if you will, to overthrow his father's kingdom. So King David encountered threats to losing his kingdom and thus everything he had to his very own son. David's son Ammon raped his half-sister. So David had to deal with the moral complications regarding like incest within the family. I mean, moral complications. I mean, that's kind of an understatement if you really think about it. King David had temptation thrown at him. It's like, okay, his sexually driven affair with Bathsheba, giving into his lust and dealing with the life-changing consequences, causing problems and hardships throughout his life in the sense that they kept multiplying due to that one temptation. King David had temptation thrown at him. His sexually driven affair with Bathsheba, giving into his lust and dealing with the life-changing consequences, caused problems and hardships throughout his life and kept multiplying due to that one little temptation. That one seed basically created all sorts of strife in his life. And it's very interesting how that happened. King David also had Satan trying to tempt him against the God he so often depended on. 1 Chronicles 21:1 kind of goes a little bit more in depth on this. Yet amongst these difficult challenges, he was able to look beyond the problems he was encountering in the moment and gave thanks. Psalm 67 starts off like this. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvests. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Okay, in contrasting difficulties David had to endure, what goes through your mind when you consider the difficult situations he went through and his expression of praise in Psalm 67? The thing I think we should ask ourselves is, do we or do we not share the same viewpoint as David? Do we have that sense of foresight, that sense of, that strong sense of looking ahead to where just the mere problems of this world kind of become marginal and trivial or can be kind of shoved aside? Do we have that power in our lives? If not, why not? And if so, then I'm sure you will understand what I'm about to say. To me, this chronicles the essence of the split between the fleshly nature and the spirit nature, focusing on things above. The Apostle Paul would later on in history reiterate this truth in Colossians 3:2, where he instructs people to, quote, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And it's interesting because, you know, when you truthfully try this, the more you do this, the more your anxieties, your fears, your desire to control anything and everything will begin to corrode. And you will be in a position in which the Lord will take control and lead you to the assignment he has destined for you. Last week, I led a Bible study at my church, And in studying the nature of Thanksgiving, I asked those who attended that Bible study this question. What are some of the things that hinder us from focusing on reflecting on the good God has done in our lives and giving thanks for that good? When we come back, I will share with you some of the answers they shared with me. And my question to you is, can you relate to any of them? Find out when we come back. In order to survive, thrive, and know your surroundings, one must acquire a sense of direction, order, and set of principles to follow. At the Making Sense message boards, we not only do all of those things, but we make it interesting. Visit makingsense.proboards.com to see what the deal is. And don't forget to listen to Making Sense with Rob Case right here on this channel. Write it down and make it a priority. It's the dawn of a new era, and we want you to be making sense. Visit makingsense.proboards.com today. We now return to Making Sense with Rob Case. The website is makingsense.proboards.com. Once again, the site is makingsense.proboards.com. There is no www in that. Okay, before the break, I told you that I recently led a Bible study, and I asked the group this question. What are some of the things that hinder us from focusing on reflecting on the good God has done in our lives and giving thanks for that good? Here are some of the answers that they gave. One was, I don't have time. Another one was self-pity. One was distractions, a busy schedule, and engaging oneself in activities that occupies time. Another one was prioritizing leisure over God, and another one was prioritizing personal goals over God's goals for you. So basically, prioritizing our goals over God's will for our lives. All of these answers directly take away from acknowledging, appreciating, and reflecting, and giving thanks to the things God has given in our lives. As a matter of fact, this you might find interesting. I know firsthand the power of prayer. I've experienced it directly and personally many times and on numerous occasions. And yet sometimes I will just up and pray just to thank God for what He's given me or thank Him for what He's done without asking for anything other than forgiveness. There's a true power in doing that. There's a sense, there's just a, there's a feel good, there's a feel goodness about doing that. It's really invigorating and energizing when you do this, because it shows that beyond a reasonable doubt, you are wholeheartedly appreciative of the things God has done for you and what God has done in your life. On that note, let me ask you another question. How do you depend on God to provide for you? Do you depend on God to provide for you? Well, if you don't depend on God to provide for you, then you're most likely to take things for granted. Now, if you depend on God to provide for you, how do you do so? Well, here's kind of a short list of how Christians depend on God to provide for us. Through prayer, through activating and using talents and abilities that He supplies, establishing a strong sense of understanding before rushing to judgment, and by giving God more control over more aspects in our lives. You know, it's interesting. When we ask Christ into our hearts, and we have the faith to give more to Him, we change. And we, depending on how much we depend on Him, we change for the better. After all, this is a trait that could stand alone in proving God's existence by itself, without anything else. What do I mean by that? Well, God created us, and in creating us, He gave us a certain set of guidelines to live longer, prosper, and equip us with the wisdom needed to survive, prosper and impact those around us by the magnitude of how well those recipes for success works in our daily lives. In fact, the more we depend on God, the more we change our demeanors, our lifestyles, and our priorities. If you are a Christian and judging from life with Him and life without Him, what can you seriously say you've gained in knowing Him? This is the true essence of thanksgiving and the component needed to give thanks. There is a contrast between life with Him and a life without Him. It takes time and deep thought to be able to discern and to realize this, and a spirit of appreciation to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 states, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." What happens when things go bad, or you encounter losses on a massive scale? Would giving thanks end for you on such conditions? When we come back, we will examine loss on a massive scale and how it can pollute one's ability to give thanks. We'll be right back. In order to survive, thrive, and know your surroundings, one must acquire a sense of direction, order, and set of principles to follow. At the Making Sense message boards, we not only do all of those things, but we make it interesting. Visit makingsense.proboards.com to see what the deal is. And don't forget to listen to Making Sense with Rob Case right here on this channel. Write it down and make it a priority. It's the dawn of a new era, and we want you to be making sense. Visit makingsense.proboards.com today. We now return to Making Sense with Rob Case. The website, once again, is makingsense.proboards.com. Again, makingsense.proboards.com. If tomorrow you woke up and everything you had was suddenly gone, how would you react? Would you get angry at God? Would you have the strength to maintain your composure, focus on everything you do have, and start all over again? Which one would you choose? How you answer these questions demonstrates the strength of your character, your faith, which would thus affect your personality. In testing your character, one has to ask himself, what is character? Character is practically a collective title that is defined based on a set of personality traits and possesses so many favorable, compassionate, and selfless characteristics that it sort of distinguishes a person, or sets them apart, if you will, from the conventional expectations or manners within a society or culture. A person of good character will put others before himself in many instances. In fact, here's a short list of what God defines as traits that defines good character. Okay, here we go. Character is confidence in one's resolve, consistency in sticking to principle, prioritizing the right things in our lives, obeying what God commands, not in the sense of being mindless robots, but possessing the wisdom in the reality that if God commands something, He does it as a strengthening mechanism to encourage the longevity of life. Dependence on the Holy Spirit, learning from others' mistakes, and reading the Word of God in knowing that what He's done for those people within the Bible, He'll actually do for you personally. If something bad were to happen to you, and let's say you lost everything you had, the strength of your character, as just defined, would be greatly tested. I mean, it would be greatly tested. If one passes the test, then he will walk out strengthened, as the Apostle Paul described in Romans 5:3b through 4, where it states, "But we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." Jesus also promised in Luke 21:19 to stand firm and you will win life. Now it's interesting. Others who allow their emotions to engulf them and do become angry at God end up likelier to end up in a self-destructive direction. After all, bitterness would take over the individual, and the list of traits that I mentioned regarding character would practically go in reverse, in that an individual would be more likely to grow bitter and cynical, would be more likely to base his decisions more on personal convenience rather than principle, prioritizing leisure above everything else, and thus become dependent on one's own limited understandings of things, and therefore assimilate with the rest of the world, with nothing really left to distinguish themselves from it. When bad things happen to people, this is a result, and this is from a Christian perspective. Sometimes it can fluctuate. We can slip and fall into this mindset ourselves, since we are by no means immune to falling into this trap. And if this does, by any chance, happen, it is very important to be able to identify it, discern it, and try to stop it before one really places himself on a path towards self-destruction. If we endure massive loss, not become bitter because of it, and depend on God to reset our lives, our character will not only be strengthened, but our faith will as well. Because what God will do is actually, through other people's compassion and contribution, among other means, show us the reality of what Jesus said in Matthew 6:25 through 34, where he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Now, it's interesting. I'm going to stop right there for just a second. I remember my dad was telling me when he was in the Navy, in the 1970s, that when he was in Europe, he would encounter missionaries trying to spread the gospel, and it was interesting how they depended on God for every meal that they were able to get, and God provided for them. These missionaries would tell my dad when he was in the Navy, somebody came up to me and gave me a $20 bill and told me that God told me to give this to you. This would really happen, and whenever my dad actually talks about this story, it just boggles my mind and just shows me the true reality. These are not just words. This is a reality of that God will actually provide for you when you depend on him to do so. He really will. This isn't just words or some empty religion thing. He really will do that. He will show you that power. He will display that openly for you when you depend on him. And that's very key. Anyway, going back to what Jesus was saying, he goes on to say, "And why do you worry about the clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Wow, how true that is. Very fascinating. You know, C.S. Lewis had a fascinating view on looking at the power of giving thanks, even in the midst of massive loss. C.S. Lewis wrote, "We ought to give thanks for all fortune, if it is good, because it is good, if bad, because it works in us patience, humility, and the contempt of this world, and the hope of our eternal country." And in the end, there is an eternal perspective regarding giving thanks that I feel ties in as well with the concept of focusing on things above rather than focusing on earthly things. James 1:12 says it best, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." And so, when you really put everything in perspective, the essence of giving thanks is really looking at your life with an eternal perspective. If you choose to receive Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you will, depending on how often you depend on Him and seek Him out, view your life with spiritual discernment and how God has used certain situations to build your character, provided you with resources to do God's will by helping somebody out or depending on God to help you out, and through that, have a sense of what God's purpose for you will be in the days, weeks, and months ahead. When we return, we are going to close by giving some guidelines based on Psalm 105. It's going to be sort of a homework assignment, if you will. So we will be right back, and I'll talk more about it after the break. In order to survive, thrive, and know your surroundings, one must acquire a sense of direction, order, and set of principles to follow. At the Making Sense message boards, we not only do all of those things, but we make it interesting. Visit makingsense.proboards.com to see what the deal is. And don't forget to listen to Making Sense with Rob Case right here on this channel. Write it down and make it a priority. It's the dawn of a new era, and we want you to be making sense. Visit makingsense.proboards.com today. Welcome back to Making Sense with Rob Case. You know, before the break, I told you that you have a homework assignment to do for Thanksgiving. Yeah, I know, it's not conventional usually to just, you know, pass out homework for Thanksgiving, but I'm going to be different. I'm going to be different. Read Psalm chapter 105. Read Psalm 105. It's a long psalm, but Psalm 105 contains within it wisdom and thus a live blueprint for giving thanks. Okay, in that, I'm going to list for you like four separate guidelines that I was able to make by just reading Psalm 105. And see if you do read Psalm 105, see if you can distinguish where David is doing that and apply this to your own life. Okay, so using Psalm 105, thanksgiving causes us to, number one, acknowledge the work that God is doing in our lives for us. Number two, appreciate His power and direction in getting us to shift our priorities. Number three, remember what God has done in our lives and through discernment be able to assemble a bigger picture to serve as the motivation for moving into the future. And number four, thank the Lord personally for all His glory and power in carrying you through. When somebody does something to add to your benefit, it is necessary to thank the one who did it And in that spirit, have a wonderful and healthy Thanksgiving. And if you're not listening to this around Thanksgiving, then remember to use this particular broadcast, access it as a self-examining tool, because it will work not just for the holiday of Thanksgiving, but all year round, every day of your life. So thank you very much. And until next time, I'm Rob Case, and you've been listening to Making Sense with Rob Case. God bless.